Okay, we're going to get stuck straight in. I know we're missing Stephen and Andy and Nigel, but we really do need to crack on. Going to have a role play. We need loud voices, so we're going to have. I like this. We're going to have.
No eye contact at all.
Yes, yes. I love it when they dip their heads and stare meaningfully at their page. Yes. So rapt with attention are they on their study. Okay, so because they cringe the most, we have Wendy, first of all, and we're going to have Gordon, and then we'll have a couple more after that. Going to role play up here. So if you'd care to come up here, please, sir and ma'am. Bring your books with you on page 34. After we've done the role plays, we're just going to summarise where we've got to. Okay, Wendy and Gordon. Who's missing? Andy. So you get to stand at the front. Well done, Gordon. So you're in a business networking meeting. And we'll be kind to the guests this time round, and then we'll make the guests do some hard work in a while. So role play meeting, we're on page 34. It's really simple. Just play it by ear, and then the rest of the group just critique you. So Wendy, you get to be one of the small business owners at the business meeting, and Gordon, you get to be the independent financial advisor. And Wendy asks the disastrous question.
Tell me, what do you do?
I'm glad you asked that because I'm a wealth Jedi.
A wealth Jedi. Okay, this is recording Gordon Couch, who came up with the naked man in the morning and now is on to lightsabers. Yes. And it's a really good job. It's a really good job Kerry's not here. Kerry being Gordon's wife, of course.
Actually, I'm not a wealth Jedi. I assist small business owners to achieve their lifestyle goals. That's it.
And then you're the web questions.
Oh, that's interesting. So how do you do that?
Well, how do I do that? I'm standing on my head. I have a meeting with you and we analyse your lifestyle goals, have a nice chat and a cup of coffee, and actually it sounds quite like a date.
Okay, carry on.
Right, tell me more.
Back to the lightsaber again. Well, I can give you an example. The chap who came to me as a client, we managed to save him about £300,000 in tax in 1 year. So does that sound of interest to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, before we swap over, critique on that against the model on the page 34. What criticisms would you have? Okay, I want you to run through that again. I want you to listen very carefully, using the model as your template, and tell me where the criticism might be. Try that again, Wendy. You just prod him.
Tell me, what do you do?
I help small business owners achieve their lifestyle goals.
Okay, now we have a problem as we start. What's the problem?
$4.5 million.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But what's the model say?
I work with.
We work with small business owners who what?
Have issues, problems.
Yeah, the priority has got to be the problem. Let me give you an example of that, if I may, using James. Why you should be speaking to us today. The big problem with being a GP or consultant is you have to start with their problem, or their yearnings, or their frustrations, or their annoyances, their irritations. There's nothing wrong with not doing that, but why would you want to use that as the opening part of your conversation? What is it about the problem that is so powerful?
Grabs their attention because you understand.
Then why does it grab their attention?
Because they identify with it.
Yeah, but why? Why is it so more powerful to talk about the problem than to talk about lifestyle aspirations, which is where Gordon's coming from?
Wendy's probably taking that for granted, that that's what he does because that's what he should do.
Okay.
So everyone says that, but would that give her any more confidence than, you know, than actually if you sort of start saying, well, actually getting her attention by recognizing her problem straight away, that's much more likely to grab her attention because everyone else is saying that they do exactly what we both do.
Okay, Peter, do you want to come in here? Problems versus aspirations.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in finding the wound, pour some salt into it, stick your thumb in it and squish it around and make it really hurt before you give the antidote and make it better. People move, are motivated to move away from pain. We're all negatively motivated when it comes down to it. If you open those windows, freezing cold, you'll move away from the window. You've got a fireplace that end, you'll move away from the fire. So working with the negative is actually gets results.
Yeah. If
more than working with
people. When I started to learn life coaching before I did business coaching, most of the coaches were very much into really quite deep spiritual work. I don't mean that they're religious or whatever, but the typically average coach in this country is between something like 45 to 52, highly educated, have had consummate professional skill development over the last 20, 30 years, are pretty well paid in corporate UK, then they leave it to become a life coach. And they tend to deal with very aspirational yearnings. I desire to become. I wish my life was more of this. What they find, those that are more successful in commercial terms as a life coach, realise eventually, and some actually go out of business very quickly, that it is nice to yearn to become something more. But people will move faster away from something than they will towards something. They'll move faster because of pain than they will because of something they desire to work towards. If you had a toothache, okay, and we were talking about something to do with raising money for Haiti, you'd probably be more concerned about that toothache at that point in time than you would about your desire to help in Haiti. Just will be your natural intention to get rid of this pain before I can concentrate on doing something meaningful with my life. That's just how human beings function. Not that you don't want to aspire towards something more meaningful and glorious and joyful and peaceful and wonderful and happy, but you move away from pain faster in terms of acting than you do graduate towards something you really desire. So the challenge you have was, I hear you wanting to help people with their lifestyle goals and aspirations, but that won't move them first and fast. What will move them is, I work with small business owners who have this particular problem. You've got to identify what the problem is. They are sick and tired of, or they're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning sweating bricks about. Do you see the difference? They will be motivated to act on that faster. So, I know I want to swap around. I want you to be the business owner and you to be the IFA. And away you go, Gordon.
Tell me, Wendy, what is it you do?
I'm a Welsh. We work with small, medium enterprises who want to become more tax efficient.
Okay, stop. Critique from the floor. Want to become.
Aspiration.
It's an aspiration. Which is perfectly natural.
They're kept awake at night by their tax issues.
Yeah. I'll give you a clue to make this really easy. Try and include the word early, struggle. Who struggle with, yeah? We work with small business owners within 10 miles radius of, who struggle with, and then, so Andy McLaughlin would say, we work with small business owners within the 10 mile radius of, who struggle with the fact they just cannot stop this tax hemorrhaging out of their business. They want to find ways of stopping that. Yeah? Does that make sense? Go for the problem first. Look at the model. The model's really clear. And if you work with it, you will attract attention more quickly. I want you to take that right to the end, the two of you. Try intuitively ad-libbing here, Wendy, if you can. Start again. Gordon, where you go?
So, Wendy, tell me, what is it you do?
We work with small, medium enterprises within a 15-mile radius of Manchester who struggle with their tax planning.
Well, that's interesting. How do you do that?
No idea.
Okay, this is not easy, is it?
No.
This isn't easy. And this is why most IFAs around you fail. Because they open their gob, and what's the first thing they generally say in a business networking meeting? Even with the right niche market around them.
Pension planning.
Yeah. Yeah, where's the next follow-on? Let me get away from this guy. It's just a pain. It's just a real turn-off. Okay. Thank you so much. Grab a seat. Two more to work with, and then we'll move on. Let's have a guest and a Inner Circle member. Come on in, Andy. Andy Nevitt. I've used you before, haven't I? I have used you before, but I'm happy to use you again. Andy Nevitt. And Eric.
David, can I ask you about this word struggle that you...
Struggle.
Is that... psychologically a really important word?
I think struggle's not strong enough myself, but it really helps you get your head around what is the problem they're wrestling with, fretting about, pained by,
overwhelmed by,
that kind of thing. I just found it when I started playing with this myself as a financial planner, it was an easy phrase to use, who struggle with this problem. Okay, and... yes, let's have Eric. So we're going to be kind with Eric first of all. We'll start. Eric, you're the whoever you are. And away you go.
Same role play. Oh, same role play.
So yeah, yeah, same role play.
My questions first.
Yes.
Tell me, Andrew, what do you do?
I'm a financial life planner. I'm a financial life planner who helps small businessmen in South Manchester ensure that they minimise their tax bill and never run out of money.
Okay, critique there so far?
Aspiration.
Have a look at the script, Andy.
Struggle.
That's okay. Yeah. Hey, I struggle with this one all the time. I purposely left out the words IMA. Because at this stage in your development of your communication powers, I don't want you to say that. I want you to learn to avoid it like the plague. He actually didn't ask you, what are you? What did you say?
What do you do?
What do you do? Okay, and the script is, well, what I do is I work with...
We work with small businessmen. Like a very tall small business, like myself, in South Manchester, who struggle to, you know, minimise their tax.
That's interesting. How do you do that?
How do we do that? We help you plan to minimise that tax.
hard, isn't it?
It's very hard.
It is hard.
We help you try not to mention the usual words. So.
Okay. You're desperate to go into the process. This is how we do it. But the script actually says something else. It won't allow you to go into the process. What's the script asking him to do? Andy McLaughlin. What's it? Yeah. It's asking him to say, look, to actually avoid the process that might naturally come out of that question. Well, what we help them to do is to achieve the following outcomes. So you skip, he might think that you're going to tell him step by step what you do. And you know what, that bore the pants off him. Okay? But it's a natural question to ask. So how do you do that then? And your job then is to say, well, let me tell you what the outcome workings. So what we do is we help them achieve the following things at the end of working with us. It's the outcome you're after. Get the outcome in straight away. Avoid the process like a plague. Does that make sense? Avoid the process like a... Ladies and gentlemen, they do not want to know your process of how you get there. In fact, you know, financial planning as a process to a prospective client is a complete bore. I'm going to have to fill in your boring questionnaires. I have to go through, you know, 3.5 hours worth of meetings. I just want the end result in my life. So I want to hear quickly, within seconds, and if you work with us, what we do is we end up helping you achieve this. These are your problems, this is what you're struggling with, and by working with us we help you have an outcome that sounds and feels like this. Does that make sense? Avoid the process like the play. Okay, now we're going to switch it around. You get the easy bit and you get the hard bit. Andy, where you go? One more time.
Afternoon, Eric. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So what do you do?
Well, we help people create more time.
Interesting. How do you do that?
Well, we help them to organise their lives so they've got more time to start living and doing less work.
So I can spend more time with my lovely wife.
No, I'd be a good example.
I like it.
Okay, stop there. critique from this table. Critique so far. Yeah, it was quite good, but what's he not done?
Specified his market, I guess.
Okay, that's issue number one. Point number two.
He's not sort of got the struggle, the outcomes that he could achieve.
Yeah, try that once more. We're spending far too long on this, but do you know what? We're spending a long time because it is a struggle. This is hard work. This is where after lunch your brain starts to really hurt. And if you can just crack this, Eric, it starts to feed into your written work as well. So one more time, Andy. What we want to hear, Eric, is who you deal with, target market, what their problem is, and then if you deal with us, the outcome would look like this. Try that. Away you go. Andy, feed him.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy.
So what do you do for a living?
Well, we work with very successful businessmen who've got no time. And we're trying to create time for them.
That's interesting. How do you do that?
Well, we help them organise their lifestyle and finance. we help them to create the time that they need to start enjoying their lives.
Okay. So, how do you create that time?
Well, we worked with a businessman some months ago. He was very busy at work, working 60, 70 hours a week, and we helped by talking through the processes that we used to reduce the number of hours that he worked, but also to increase his financial independence.
That sounds good. When can I come and see you?
Very good. Okay, well done. This is hard work. This really is quite hard. It's brain testing, isn't it, Wendy? Hey, this is hard work, and what I want you to do now that you've wrestled with that one, it is a wrestle, Paul, isn't it, is to go back to the office, have a look at page 35, have a look at page 35 and 36, I want you to take that back to the office. What I'm asking you to do now is, now you're beginning to learn the model, we've critiqued each other and teased each other, take it back to the office on 35 and 36. It's the same kind of model, but now you put it into writing. Now you're developing a written template back at the office. Please, do not avoid this exercise. Of all the things you could do today, this exercise needs to be done with care back at the office. And let me show you why this is so. So 35, you can see, you discuss their problem. You discuss what's possible to achieve if they just worked with you. Step 3 on 35, you point out why they're probably stuck where they are. This is an additional factor to the verbal stuff. Step 4, what they need to do to resolve the problem, and then the call to action. There's a format here, it's a formula. Have a look on the next page, page 36. I've actually stuck in a new step. What's the new step different from page 35? Page 36, what's the new step?
Step 5.
Step 5, why they're different, yeah? The reason we're different from those that you might meet elsewhere is, and you just kind of stick that in before you then close. So here's my strong recommendation to you, seriously. You take what we played with and laughed at in the verbal message, you're packaging your message, you go home and package it in writing using this formula, and this template, look at the formula, look at the heading at the top, the executive communication template. Why have I called it that? What does executive mean?
Expensive.
It could be.
Expensive. High level.
Yeah. What else does what does an executive do in a business?
Control.
Yeah. This is the controlling template for all other written material you're going to produce from now on. Everything. Website, brochure, business card, leaflet, email, everything is driven by this template. You need to keep referring back to this template and just say, is any element of this template in this email? Watch my blogs. Some of them you'll like, some of them you won't like. But the blogs constantly touch upon this formula, the problem, and so on and so forth. Yeah? The blog that brought you to this workshop as a guest followed this formula. It talked about the problem first and then what working with us might do as an outcome in your life. So, this is the executive driving template. If you turn over to page 37, those are all the things it will drive if you learn how to use it. So, there's a lot of this stuff you can go back to the office and study at leisure down the road, but I tell you what, something to do in the next 7 days, and do it in the next 7 days, otherwise it will just go, you'll just get into busy work, go back to the office, sit down and work through 35 and 36 until you've got something written out. Practice it. It's so critical to everything else you're now going to write for the rest of your business life. This template will start driving the way you talk and communicate in writing. Yeah, everything. When you're public speaking, this is the model. When you're writing a brochure, this is the model. That's what James does, that's what I did, this is the model. As many of these as you can, these points, get into that model. Sales letters, proposals. This is your problem that you brought to me. This is the thing you were wrestling with. This is probably why you were stuck and wrestling with this problem after 10 years of business life or whatever. Here's what will happen if you work with us. Here's the outcome. This is why we're really different. And here's what you need to do. Proposal after a first meeting. Yeah? Everything driven by this executive template. If I were in your shoes, I would not avoid this exercise. This would be a driving force for everything you now communicate to your target market. Is that okay? Page 38. So, what have we done today? We've hinted at product. That's all of the last workshop. You will all get that. We've hinted at pricing. So all in the last workshop in great detail. We've talked an awful lot about packaging today. Now we're going to talk about persuasion. Ready? Turn over to page 39. Okay. Advisor Jim, inner circle group. We did this in the last workshop, but there's something new we've never done before. So I want you to write as many synonyms as you can in 2 minutes to those four words. Go. Right, let's see what you've got. See how your command of English is. So let's have Stuart's table. I want four synonyms for esteem, please.
Status.
Recognition. Okay.
Self-belief.
Any more?
Self-belief.
Okay.
Self-confidence.
Self-worth.
Yeah, all right. So they beat up the selves. All right. Let's move now to what's the next one? Control. Synonyms for control.
Power, money, influence.
Influence, power.
Direction.
Structure.
In charge.
Organizer.
Jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction is a heavy word. All right, it's an intelligent word for it. We're not into intelligence in this workshop. okay, so that's all control synonyms. This table. Come on. John's table.
We've all got as part of the group. Group.
Sense of purpose.
Belonging, part of the group.
Sense of purpose.
Sense of purpose. Okay.
Comfort.
Anything else that helped me realise I'm belonging to something or somebody or some people?
Identity.
Team,
yeah. Any more? Any more on belonging?
Valued,
you are valued, yes. I'd write that down. Valued. Family.
Loved.
That's a sense of belonging.
Worth.
To somebody else.
Fellowship and fraternity.
Yeah, fraternity, fellowship. Another intelligent word. Getting a bit intelligent for 2:15.
Academics on the right.
Yeah. Yeah. This is your intelligentsia, is that? Yeah. Right, they're all sense of belonging to somebody or something. Okay, last table, what did you have?
Purpose,
yeah.
Fulfillment.
Strategy.
Values.
Yeah, it's got to have meaning.
Understanding.
Why are we talking about these four words? What have they got to do with your ability to persuade and attract me and attract my attention and interest?
Using the language that will appeal to you if you're a control freak
or
a business owner.
Yeah. Here's what I've learned and relearned and learned more of in the last 6 months since running last workshop and before that. We all understand Maslow's hierarchy, yes? Physical well-being and, you know, self-actualization at the top. And that works, but it's actually a little bit too simple. And in order to understand the people you're now going to be communicating with and trying to attract towards you with the right kind of language, you have to understand where they sit. And they don't just sit in one camp, but there tends to be a dominating part of their character, often driven by the experiences they've had in their life, the way they've been treated as a child, maybe as a baby, how they've grown up, and they tend to then swing and sway towards a particular area of the way they deal with life. So, for example, I will always seek those things that give meaning and purpose to my life. I want to know answers to the big questions. Why am I here? Why was I born? Where do I come from? What happens after this life? I need to have meaning and context in my life, otherwise it all seems a bit shallow and flimsy to me. It all seems a little bit pointless. It all seems like treading water. That's how I feel. If you wanted to communicate with me and attract me towards you, you were taught the language of meaning and purpose. You'd write like Stephen R. Covey. Who's read Stephen R. Covey's works? Yeah. If you haven't, okay, if you haven't read Stephen R. Covey, you need to read Stephen R. Covey to understand how people think work like this. Stephen R. Covey, C-O-V-E-Y, whose book is, whose first famous book was what? The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Not successful, effective human beings. Sold well in excess of 15 million. This is not a light read. This is not a holiday beach time read.
I was going to say, so if you've got these books, you talk about skim reading them, and if it's not a light read.
You can't skim read, Steve. I mean, you can summarise it briefly, but you can't skim read Covey.
You can buy the CD, the abridged version.
Yeah, you can buy the booklet. And he does lots of booklets and pamphlets and so on and so forth. He's one of the chairmen that drives a company called Franklin Covey. Franklin is now the largest day planner organiser system on the planet, by far. They overtook Day Planner years ago. And Covey is one of the mental drivers and spiritual drivers of that. He's a very spiritual guy, very clever guy, professor at university, well known in the academic circles across the globe. And he came out, he's written a number of very spiritual books, came out into the business world, gave up his professorship, was earning good money, very comfortable lifestyle, gave it all up to become, to start taking his concepts and principles into the business fraternity. Because he just said, I'm working with people. I think these deep concepts can help people who are, you know, who are just stretched thin in business and living lousy lives. We're just unhappy and miserable and stressed and, you know, their marriages are falling apart and all the rest of it. And he wrote this book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and it just took off. In the business fraternity, it sold about 15 million. And it's not light reading. This is hard work, this book, which makes you wonder, how the heck can he sell 15 million? Because once you start reading it, you're hooked. You begin to understand what meaning and purpose is all about. And why it matters in business. And why a business without meaning and purpose really is a very shallow business indeed. It won't attract quality staff, quality clients, quality anything. So I'd recommend Stephen R. Covey. And so for me, Stephen R. Covey is one of my heroes, just one of them. You know, he talks meaning, purpose of life in business.
Can I ask, how do you begin to try and identify these major characteristics of people you're talking to in your first
meeting? That's a really good question. How do you do that before you meet with them? The first thing you have to do, Andy, is recognise that out there are your ideal clients, and they're likely to fall within all four of those categories. And if your messaging, the way you communicate, doesn't talk to each of those four, you're automatically cutting those people out of your life. Because they just won't listen to you. So recognise out there are some control freaks. There are some people who desire meaning and purpose in life. There are some people who want to belong. They just want to be part of something, like a golf club. You know, a golf club's got not a lot to do with golf. That's being belonging to something. Look at the crazy organisations and fraternities there are out there. You know, the stamp collectors group and... And the train spotters group, and nothing wrong with train spotting, but what is going on there? It's people wanting to belong to another community. The Advisor Gym is another community, and people happen to like belonging and being here with you, which is why I filter them out so brutally. Far more people were turned away from this than got in.